Chapter 8, The Temptation.
After his baptism, Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to face temptation from the devil. Christ did not look for temptation. He wanted to be alone so that he might think about his mission and work. By prayer and fasting, he would prepare himself for the blood-stained path that he must travel. But Satan knew where the Savior had gone, so he went there to tempt him. As Christ left the Jordan, the glory of God shone on his face. But after he entered the wilderness, it disappeared. The sins of the world became a heavy burden upon his shoulders. His face showed more sorrow and anguish than any person had ever felt before. He was suffering for sinners, for you and me. Adam and Eve in Eden had disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit. Their disobedience had brought sin and sorrow and death into our world. Christ came to give an example of obedience. In the wilderness, after fasting 40 days, he would not depart from the will of his Father, even to obtain food. One of the temptations that overcame our first parents was the desire to indulge hunger. By his long fast, Christ showed that we can bring it under control. Satan tempts people to overindulge in things because this weakens the body and clouds the mind. He knows that he can then more easily deceive and destroy them. But Christ's example teaches that every wrong desire must be overcome. Such desires should not rule us. We must rule them. When Satan first appeared to Christ, he looked like an angel. He claimed to be a messenger from heaven. Satan told Jesus that his Father did not want him to go through such suffering. Christ had to show only a willingness to suffer. When Jesus was struggling against the keenest pangs of hunger, Satan said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Matthew 4:3. But since the Savior had come to live as our example, he must endure suffering as we have to endure it. Thus, he must not work a miracle for his own good. His miracles were all to be for the good of others. To the demand of Satan, he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Verse 4. Thus, he showed that it is far less important to provide ourselves with food than it is to obey the word of God. Those who obey God's word have the promise of anything that they might need for the present life. Also, they have God's promise of the future life. Satan had failed to overcome Christ in the first great temptation. Next, he carried him to a pinnacle of the temple at Jerusalem and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Verse 6. Satan here followed Christ's example in quoting Scripture. But God did not make this promise for those who deliberately get themselves into danger. God had not told Jesus to throw himself down from the temple. Jesus would not do it to please Satan. He told the devil, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Verse 7. We should trust in the care of our Heavenly Father, but we must not go where He does not send us. We must not do what He has forbidden. Because God is merciful and ready to forgive, some people will say that it is safe to disobey Him and then ask forgiveness. But this is presumption. God will forgive all who seek pardon and turn away from sin, but those who deliberately choose to disobey Him, He cannot bless. Satan now appeared as what he really was, the prince of the powers of darkness. He took Jesus to the top of a high mountain and showed him all the world's kingdoms. The sunlight shimmered on splendid cities, marble palaces, fruitful fields, and vineyards. Satan said, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Verse 9. For a moment, Christ looked upon the wonderful scene. Then he turned away. Satan had presented the world to him in the most attractive light, but the Savior saw beneath the outward beauty. He saw the world apart from God in its wretchedness and sin. All this misery was the result of people turning away from God to worship Satan. A longing to redeem that which was lost filled Christ. He wanted to restore the world to more than the beauty it had in Eden. He wanted to place human beings on higher ground with God. Christ was resisting temptation so he could save the human race. He was to be an overcomer, that human beings might also overcome, that they might be equal with the angels and be worthy to be acknowledged as children of God. To Satan's demand for worship, Christ answered, "Away with you, Satan! For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Verse 10. The love of the world, the lust for power, and the pride of life, everything that draws human beings away from the worship of God, Satan used to try to tempt Christ. Satan offered Christ the world and its riches if he would pay homage to the principles of evil. In the same way, Satan presents to us the advantages to be gained by wrongdoing. He whispers to us, "In order to succeed in this world, you must serve me. Do not be too particular about truth and honesty. Do what I say, and I will give you riches, honor, and happiness." But when we do that, we are worshiping Satan instead of God. It will bring us only misery and ruin. Christ has shown us what we should do when tempted. When he said to Satan, "Away with you," the devil could not resist the command. He had no choice but to go. Writhing with baffled hate and rage, the rebel chief left the presence of the world's Redeemer. The contest ended for the moment. Christ's victory was as complete as had been Adam's failure. So we also may resist temptation and overcome Satan. The Lord says to us, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." James 4:7-8.